Welcome to the October 15th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. I apologize that we didn't have a podcast episode last week, although I'm quite sure it broke none of your hearts. But, you know, it is something I like to do consistently. But like anything that we do with the Sharp Plays, I didn't want to just force it out there. I didn't have any notes. I didn't have anything really put together, and it was Friday, and I thought, oh, the hell with it. I'm not just going to force something out there just to have it. So passed last week on the podcast, but obviously we're back this week. So hopefully you enjoy what's ahead on this week's episode. My goals are going to be to talk some strategy at the beginning here, to discuss the Ole Miss-Georgia game, because I love to follow Ole Miss football, and then get into the My Handicapping game of the week of the year, and end with a My Two Cents rant, which I know some people have been wanting to see for quite some time. So with all that said, let's dive into the strategy portion. So for the commentary section this week in the podcast, I wanted to discuss something that I brought up in a TSP Live alert on Tuesday to subscribers. And that was that we had a losing streak going from last Sunday through to basically this past Sunday evening. And this past Sunday evening, we cashed Kansas City, we cashed the under, we cashed baseball. And it was a nice big turning of the corner, change of pace from the cold streak that we had been going in for the previous 7 days. Then when that win came, we had a winner on Monday. We had some winners on Tuesday. It's been a nice little run since. And there's two things that I would point out. First of all, as I say all the time, but people tend not to get it, professional gambling is nothing but a series of hot runs going into cold runs. So it's just hot run, cold run, hot run, cold run, hot run, cold run. You have to be able to keep up with that pace. If you can't, and if you're going to sweat every cold run, it's going to be a torturous business because you're going to get a lot of cold runs. So just putting that aside for a minute, where I really wanted to go with things was just to illustrate that even though we had a 7 day cold run, the little mini 3 day hot run that we had, and that's really more like a 2 1/4 days hot run because it's only been Monday, Tuesday, and then Sunday night. But just in that little period of time, we've ground back almost all the TSP portfolio losses during that 7 day cold run. So it goes to the point of maximize your wins, minimize your losses. You cannot avoid cold streak. You cannot avoid losing. But if you feel that a cold streak is coming, and to do that, I use the TSP index, which usually once we get one down day, typically there are more down days to follow. So when we got that first down day, I started to tighten up risk. I started to lessen the content that I put out there. And in doing so, just a little 2 1/4 days run of heat in the betting markets for us has almost completely erased the previous losses. And that's really as good as gambling is ever going to get. So stop trying to avoid losing. Instead, notice when you see that downturn coming, tighten up until you get that first winning day. We had a nice run on Sunday night. I opened up risk on Monday, opened up risk on Tuesday. It's been working well. Hopefully that continues Wednesday through the weekend. But that's going to bring me to 2 points. One is an experiment that I wanted to do this week. The experiment is already underway. It's something I'm tracking. It's something I'm recording. And it's something that I'm going to discuss and break down, hopefully, if everything works out with the experiment and my hypothesis is correct. I will discuss it next week in the podcast. I'll break it all down because I think it's something that all of you can do when you hit a cold run. It's basically what I call a streak breaker. So when we had that cold run going, I thought it was the perfect time for a streak breaker. I engaged my streak breaker on Monday, and it's underway right now, and I look forward to providing you all the results next week, which hopefully means a very good week and weekend of content. So far, Monday and Tuesday, after I began the process and my streak breaker method experiment, whatever you want to call it, things have been going well. Let's see if that continues. If it does, come next week, Thursday, Friday, when I do the next podcast episode, I'll break it all down because I want it to be a tool that all of you can use in your sports betting. But I want to have data, I want to have information, and I want to be able to break it down fully for you, how it works, the best ways to do it, so on and so forth. So to do that, we have to see how it goes. I'll get back to you next week on that. But the topic that I discussed in the TSP Live alert this week was gamblers have a goldfish brain problem. And scientific studies have said that goldfish have like a 5-second memory or something like that. It's a very, very incredibly short memory. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's a fact. Who knows what a goldfish actually thinks? But allegedly, that's the case. But that happens a lot with gamblers, and that can be a very big problem. The reason that I repeat ad nauseum, that's constantly, is because people forget that when you're in a cold run, a hot run is coming. And ever since last December, when we had a very strong cold run, it's been my mission to point these things out. When we were in that cold run in December, one of the things that I said was, this is going to come to an end. And eventually all the losses that we have in this cold run will come back to us and we'll put on a ton of profit on top. In the moment, I can't fast forward you to like April or May and say, look, we're in December now, but look how good you're going to feel by April or May next year. Nobody's going to believe it. Nobody cares about it because they have goldfish brain. They're just stuck in the moment where all they do is lose. That's all they're ever going to do is lose. Their winning in gambling is done. They will never win a bet again. It sounds silly, but a lot of people really treat it that way. And a lot of people carry that type of emotion with them. We just had a monster run from the end of August through to last Sunday, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before it. That's how long the run went. We then had 6 days, not even counting Sunday, 6 days, well, fine, 7 days of cold run, and people lost their mind. If you can't handle a, I guess, professional wagering methodology that's going to win 4 or 5 weeks in a row and then have a losing week, and that losing week just sends you in a spiral, and you become an emotional mess, this is not going to be a business that's going to work for you. But it's something you can change. You control whether you lose your mind over a cold streak. It's just all in your head. And that's really what I wanted to discuss today is the mental game of sports betting, and not even just professional sports betting, but professional betting in general, whether you play poker, blackjack, whatever your game is, if you're a professional at it, perfect. I want to make sure that you have the mental game and the mental tools to overcome that cold streak. So let's get into that part of things. All right. So when it comes to the mental aspect of professional betting, the people tend not to realize how important it is. You know, people will say, of course, if you're a kicker in football or you're playing baseball, there's a very strong mental component because if you lose your confidence, all of a sudden the best kicker can't make a 25-yard field goal. And all of a sudden the best hitter can't connect with the ball at all. You know, just walking up and strikeout after strikeout after strikeout. And it shows, it's those sorts of things that show the mental aspect of something that a lot of people think is just 100% physical or 100% skill. It is amazing what your mind will do to you. And even though professional betting, for the most part, I guess, depending on what you're betting on, if it's, you know, you're hustling basketball, that's a different story. But when it comes to just picking teams or playing blackjack or playing poker, if you're a professional at it, there is a very strong mental component. Once you lose your confidence as any type of bettor, it's over. You're going to have a cold streak, and it's going to really have a negative impact on your performance until you can finally pull yourself and pull your mind back out of that abyss. That's why I talk about the abyss all the time. You fall into it, and we all fall into it. I fall into it, and it just happens for a variety of different reasons. Yes, I'm a disciplined bettor. I have good bankroll management. But what can pull me into the abyss is putting out content to other people and knowing they're losing. And so knowing that others are losing on content that I'm putting out, yeah, that screws me up. I can lose all the time. I'm fine with that. I handle it well. If it's just me losing, you would never even know I'm losing because I manage my emotions well. I can sit at dinner. I've told this story many times. I could sit at dinner. I could lose a six-figure bet. Nobody at that dinner is going to know anything is wrong with me. It's just the nature of the business. After time, it just water off a duck's back. And you plow forward and you know and you trust that you're going to get that money back. So yes, oh, I don't want to lose. And when I do lose, it sucks. But I know, well, that sucks. I took a real gut punch on that one. That was a big bet that lost. However, I have complete faith that coming up in the near term, I'm going to get that money back and then some. So no need to panic. No need to get crazy. No need to fall into the abyss. Move on, enjoy the evening, enjoy the meal. We'll get it back tomorrow. You got to get to that point in your game to move forward and to increase your performance to a high level. If you start to lose it at every loss, it's easier to fall into that abyss. So with all that being said, what I want to talk about today is how to avoid the abyss that you find yourself in. To share an example of one of my abyss mode sessions, go back to 2019, the Robinhood Club. Back then, the sharp plays would sell selections for $25, and you would have a one-unit guarantee. So if the selection lost, we would continue to give you free content until you had a net profit of one unit. So it was basically like one selection. If it won, obviously you got your one unit there. If it didn't, then the quote Robinhood Club would open. And this would be a daily selection service with a bunch of different selections, content, et cetera, that would come out. And until that content delivered one unit of profit, it would continue to go on and on and on. It worked for a very long time without any issues. I would say there were about 14 to 16 Robinhood selections. You know, either they won on the first one, or if they didn't, the Robinhood Club came in, and after a couple days, whatever, you'd get that one unit of profit, and that was it. It was something a lot of people liked. Well, in November of 2019, there was a Robinhood Club selection. I remember it distinctly. It was on the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz. They could have won the game. They were, I believe it was like first and goal on the three. They couldn't get in after one or two tries. They had a penalty. They had more downs to do it. They still could not get in. It was the most idiotic thing you've ever seen. Still, it happened, and the Robinhood Club came into play because, of course, that selection lost on the Eagles. What then followed was, in an attempt to get one unit, the Robinhood Club lost almost 19 units of profit, or 19, not profit, but just lost 19 units in the weeks that followed. And it was one of those situations where you're trying to get out of the hole, and you just keep digging it deeper. I would not say that any of the selections were forced. If you were part of it, you remember, it was just bad luck after bad luck after bad luck. And it didn't look like it was ever going to end. And I had to do something to bring it to an end. It was not working. So I did something that was, I guess, controversial to some. I mean, who gives a shit? But I guess some people felt it was controversial. And what I did was I provided people that were in the Robinhood Club with a $500 credit. So the Robinhood Club was only $25. They give you a $500 worth of free content for the sharp plays moving forward. The goal was, we're going to end the Robinhood Club here. That's it. And we're going to do a reset and move forward. And as luck would have it, literally, as soon as that reset went into play, the content performed beautifully. We went on a nice run. Anyone who followed along or desired to follow after that 19-unit cold run made all their units back within a couple months. And before you know it, profits were flowing in again. And obviously, it's a distant memory now at this point. Since that, we've picked up hundreds of units of profits through the years. So it was easily erased, but it was a good example of being stuck in an abyss and it being part of the mental game, because it was not a coincidence that literally the very next bet after the Robinhood Club was closed was a winner. And then it was a hot run. And that sometimes it takes things like that. This past December was an awful cold run. However, on January 13th, the Hermes AI program launched. Once that program launched, it started making money. Things started moving forward. March came in, we got on a hot run, the rest is history. All the losses from December have long been covered, and we have a ton of profit on top. To do the math, we're basically right now at about 78 units of profit, counting Hermes AI selections and the TSP portfolio combined. December was minus 19 units. And so obviously it's been cleared, it's back, whatever. But it just shows you these little things. It doesn't have to be that you quit or whatever, but it does take a reset. In the case of December, I think the reset was the Hermes AI program. It brought in some momentum, it brought in some energy. It made things, you know, it brought out a positive vibe to the whole sharp plays. And that changed the way things went. And so you have to do that in your betting. So you might say, well, how do you do that? One of the things you do is you might have your own personal streak breaker type method. It could be anything. It could be something you eat. Maybe you have some special soup. Maybe you take a nap. Maybe you pass a couple days. Whatever that is for you, engage in that. Find something that you enjoy that gets your mind off betting, off sports betting, off any type of any sports or betting. And go and enjoy it
so that you can get your energy back, so you get your mojo back for the game. You come back with a clear head and you're ready to move forward. Everybody should have some sort of streak breaker idea. I'll share mine next week. And hopefully this is a strong weekend ahead and it will make for a great episode next week as to how the streak breaker worked. But it's just got to be something you enjoy. What works for me is definitely not going to work for you or may not work for you. So find something you enjoy, put that together. It's basically a break from your betting to clear your head. Figure out whatever that is for you. One of the things that I've also talked about that I started engaging in back in March of this year, and I've seen a tremendous increase in my performance in betting and in a lot of different aspects of life in general, business performance, betting performance. I have other projects that I do outside the Sharp Plays that I work with. Performance there improved. And again, similar to these little streak breaker things or in getting out of the abyss, I think that made a difference. And for me, it was meditating. It's something that someone told me years ago. I want to say it was probably about 15 years ago. They said, if you're going to be a professional gambler, you really need to meditate every day. It clears your head. It gets you centered, blah, blah. I thought, oh, this is stupid. I never did it. But in that December cold run this year, I started thinking about what the hell can I do? You know, what tools are out there to reset? And I remembered the meditating discussion that I had. And I still didn't do it in December because I was too busy trying to get out of the cold. And finally, things had cleaned up a little bit by February. And I said, okay, it's March Madness is coming up. I'm going to do this meditating thing. And I did. And March and April were the best performing months of the year. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. But to me, looking at the whole sum of all the data from since that time, it's really changed the performance that I have. And it's something I would suggest to any gambler because it only takes 15, 20 minutes a day. I know everybody says, oh, you know, people tell me, oh, I don't have 5 minutes to read your commentary every day. You know, I'm just so busy. Well, I don't know who the fuck you are that you don't have 5 minutes. I think of myself as busy and I have 5 minutes. I have 20 minutes a day to cram in some meditation. Obviously you can't really do it while you're driving, but I'm sure there's some moment in the day over a lunch break, whatever, but you can take a little bit of time, even if it's 10 minutes, just to clear your head, reset, clean up your thoughts, push all the negative stuff out of your body, and emotions and mental things. Don't, you know, shit your pants in your car. But that's what you want to do to reset your brain and start to look at things in a different capacity.
Because the reality is that gamblers are very negative people. And it's something you see whether, it's funny, I'm going to go on a tangent here, but I can't tell you how many people send a message. Now, they haven't messaged anything before this, but it'll be something like, holy fucking shit, I can't get into the TSB live. I don't know where the picks are. This is bullshit. And it's like, dude, fucking calm down. This is your first message. I get back to messages pretty quick. Don't act like I've left you for 47 hours waiting on a reply. How about just, hey, I just purchased. I don't know what I'm doing. Could you help me out here? Beautiful. Get right back to you. The anger that exists in so many people. I don't know if people are just fucking miserable to begin with, and this could be a whole other my two cents rant or what it is, but gamblers tend to be very negative people. So having something that increases the positivity in your life, brings in positive emotions, clears out the negative emotions, can be a very healthy thing, even just regardless of like getting out of a cold streak, just in general. And I think that's why meditation as a whole has really increased my performance across a variety of different areas. So again, I don't want to belabor the point, but just something to think about. And it's really the goal of all this is to just to point out how important the mental game is to your sports betting performance. It's always overlooked. All people think about is, well, it matters what my bankroll discipline is and the type of selection or picks that I'm getting. Yeah, that's a big part of it. But the mental game is what'll take you off on some wacky tangent because you'll start to tell yourself, oh, I got to bet this, or you'll have a system where I only bet these situations. And then all of a sudden you get in a cold streak and now you're changing that system entirely. That system gave you 75 units of profit over the course of a year, but because of a 10 unit drawdown, now you're like, well, I got to change the program. It's over. No, that's your mind leading you down the wrong path. And that is where just a little losing streak can pull you into the abyss and why a losing streak can be exacerbated in a variety of ways, time, length, level of loss, etc., because of how badly you fall into that abyss. So the goal of all this is remember the mental game. Don't let yourself fall into that abyss. Be patient. Take the time that's needed. Reset and get back into the game. You'll be shocked what a difference it makes. So again, hopefully next week I'll be able to share my streak breaker and a great experiment and a great result with you. And then it's something that you can develop as a plan for yourself in the future. The other thing that I would touch on, you know, I talk about the mental game here. Gambling is very physical. It does take a toll on your body. The stress that you have in gambling, going from elation to stressed out horror because of bad beats and bad breaks. Yes, it's mental, but it's also physical. It does take a toll on you physically. So being in peak condition is important for your gambling. A lot of people are going to think this is stupid. I thought it was stupid, but as I did it, whether it's a self-fulfilling prophecy or something else, it worked. So that is to eat right. Your brain runs on fuel, so give it good fuel. Does that mean you can't have a burger and fries again? Of course not. But try to pick healthier options. Try to pick options that feed your brain, feed your body good stuff to give you the fuel to stay sharp. You want to, of course, stay sharp mentally. For me, that's engaging in the streak breaker things that I do. And that's, of course, the meditating. It helps me stay sharp mentally. Be prepared. Be prepared to win and be prepared to lose. That's all part of this game. And then when you're perhaps doing one of these resets where you're passing a day or something, have a lot of notes for your betting because you can go back and you can study your game. And you'll be surprised what you'll find. If you really are tracking your bets legitimately and honestly for yourself, you'll be shocked when you do one of these resets and go, okay, this last week sucked. Let me see what I did. And you'll find, I shouldn't have bet that game. That doesn't fit my... You'll start to pick up on things that you did wrong. And once you notice them, then you can prevent them from happening in the future. So the mental game of sports betting is something that's very important to me. I do have notes for this podcast, but I do kind of just ramble using bullet points. So I apologize if this was very repetitive and such, but hopefully it'll help you in different ways. And hopefully there's some gems you can pick out within it. And with that said, I'll end that segment and let's go right into some coverage of some games that are going on this week. All right. So the first game that I'm going to cover is Ole Miss and Georgia. Ole Miss is at Georgia. The line opened 6.5, is now up to 7.5. I love Ole Miss, but I don't know if I can bet them this week. It's very tempting at 7.5. It's very tempting to take them money line. I think they are somewhat of an underrated program. People don't feel they should be 4, but they do have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. But here's my concern. Ole Miss is a public dog. Now, I will gladly bet public dogs when I really feel confident in them, but I don't in Ole Miss, and seeing Ole Miss as a public dog is a concern for me. The other concern for me is that sharp money has come in small, but it's come in consistently on Georgia. And that's why this line has gone from 6.5 up to 7.5. The move to 7.5 for books is a big concern for me. Because when you have the public hammering Ole Miss at 6.5, and now you're giving them 7.5, you're basically saying, listen, fuckers, you're all going to lose. You want 7.5 there, 7.5. Keep betting more, keep betting more, keep betting more. It's effectively like a book position. The goal of a book position is to create a lucrative line that the public can't resist, and they pour in on that team where you see tremendous value as a book on the other side. So you hope to suck in the public on, you know, Ole Miss plus 7.5 because you think Georgia is going to cover by a mile. And while this isn't an official book position for any of the books that I work with, or they haven't discussed it either, it does have that feel based on the way the line has moved. So I have a lot of concerns on Ole Miss this week. I'll be rooting for them, and I hope they win. But if I had to place a bet here, I would go Georgia and even minus the 7.5, just based on the fact that we have a public dog and the books did not have any problem giving the public 7, and even more so now they're giving them 7.5, which is a very key number. To me, that says something, and it's a concern. I hope Ole Miss wins, but if I'm forced to bet, I'm taking Georgia right now. Now, there is a little glimmer of hope for Ole Miss fans, because what could be happening here is limits are smaller during the week. So you could have sharps, this happens all the time, setting up a head fake. And what that means is they bet Georgia early in the week at very low limits in an effort to push the books to get the price at a key level that they want to take. So you could have sharps pushing Georgia up to 7.5. And then come Saturday, you have massive sharp wagers that hammer Ole Miss at 7.5 and at 7. And then that was their real goal. I guess that perhaps that's just my Ole Miss optimism that it's a possibility, but it definitely is a possibility and it happens every week. So it's something to think about here. I would not dive in and bet Georgia right now at minus 7.5. Let's see how the week plays out. By the end of the week, come Saturday, when this game is about to kick off,
We could have a Hermes 87 score on Ole Miss. You just never know. But that's where I'm looking, and that's what I'm seeing right now in this Ole Miss game, and that would be my breakdown. However, let's get into the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. It has not been special this year. It's 1-3 on the season, so I got to get a run going. It's about time, and I'm going to do it with San Francisco -2 over Atlanta. It's a Sunday night football game, big game. Atlanta is coming off a Monday night football big win against the Bills. That was a huge win for the team. Now they have to travel from the East Coast to the West Coast, which is always a problem for NFL teams, coming off a big game. San Francisco, I believe, is a value here because they should have beaten Tampa. They blew so many opportunities to win that game, and they let Baker Mayfield look like an MVP. Yes, Tampa's a good team. There's no doubt about it, but San Francisco really could have had that game without much of a problem, actually, potentially outright, but at least they cover, and they didn't. So I think that's lending value here. I also think that the big Falcons win on the other side of it creates negative value there. So you have an underrated team coming in San Francisco, an overrated team coming in the Falcons. I think that gives us some value to San Francisco. Penix in the second half of that game on Monday night against the Bills looked pretty bad. He should have thrown the interception that I bet him in play to throw. There were a couple moments where Bills had the ball in their hand for an interception and dropped it twice that I specifically remember. And they didn't really get any offense going in the second half. They rolled over the Bills in the first half, but the second half, they really didn't get much going. It kind of exposed some issues that they have. And now they're going against San Francisco, who I think has a massive coaching advantage over Atlanta. And I think they will be able to exploit the issues. They, being San Francisco, will be able to exploit the issues in Atlanta on the road. So I'm going, my handicapping game of the week of the year is San Francisco -2.
Last but not least, let's get into the My Two Cents segment. And the topic this week is going to be that I'm a dickhead. And, you know, I do have some free time throughout the day, but I don't want to waste it debating bullshit back and forth with you. So if you come off and say that you don't like that I type too much in the alerts, or you don't like how the Sharp Plays does this or that, or you want to complain, hey dude, where's the plays? Enough of this typing bullshit. No, I don't want to read all this stuff. But that's how we do it at the Sharp Plays. It's really simple. If you don't like what goes on at the Sharp Plays, don't subscribe. If you subscribed and didn't know it, well, don't worry. When you come with your bullshit message, I'm going to say, hey, buddy, go fuck off. What's your email address so I can process a refund and get you the hell out of here, because we don't want you at the Sharp Plays. Plain and simple. I'm also blunt because I don't have the time to go back and forth on bullshit stuff. Now, you may think, well, bullshit stuff, what if I have serious questions? If you have serious questions, that's a whole different story. You could send 5,000 questions on honest topics. You're trying to learn things. You need help bankroll management, all that. We will spend as much time as necessary to assist you on that. But if you're going to send shit bitching and moaning because you don't like that the recap wasn't done a certain way, or you don't like how much typing there is, or God forbid you have to read 4 sentences to figure out a play, that's just how it goes at the Sharp Plays. The Sharp Plays is not one of these services that tells you this is a 3-star best bet, this is a 2-star best bet, this is a 1-star best bet. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later. It's about intel. It's about information. It's about teaching you different things as a better, because a lot of people, the bulk of the audience, are trying to learn and to be better bettors. Also, the bulk of the audience doesn't like to just be told what to bet, doesn't like to blind follow. They want the intel, they want the information, they want the ability to handicap games for themselves. So if you don't like that there's too much reading, don't subscribe. If you don't like how things are done at the Sharp Plays, please save your feedback and my time, because that's just how we do things. It's how things have been done for the last 15 years. It's not going to change because of you. We don't give a shit about your subscription. We don't give a shit about your $250 a month, your $59 a week, whatever. If you don't like it, you can go. The rest of you, yes, we appreciate you. Your support makes everything work at the Sharp Plays. But what it doesn't do is pay for my lifestyle. Unlike 98% of this industry. 98% of this industry needs you to buy their $25 play. They need you to buy their $50 play. They need you to buy their $249 subscription, because they don't win at sports betting. So 99% of the industry needs you to buy those plays. And so they're going to suck your balls because they can't afford you not to keep buying their plays. So when you come with bullshit stuff, they're going to give you the, oh, sir, I'm sorry. How can we assist? What can we do better? Can we give you something? Can we? I don't care about any of that. We cut right through it. We get to the point. That's it. You're out. So if that upsets you or that's a problem for you, I'll let you know right now, don't subscribe to The Sharp Place.
But the business isn't about bringing in every idiot as a subscriber. We want good subscribers. And 97% of the subscribers we have for TSP Live are fucking awesome. And I appreciate all of you, the conversations that we have, the intelligent discussions about handicapping. It's excellent. And it's all of you, that 97% that have pushed this business forward, that have made The Sharp Plays into what it is today. The evolution of content has been dramatic. Those of you who have been with us since 2019 and what you see today with the AI and the tables and the Intel and the Oddsmakers report, it is incredible what the business has become. And it's all of you out there, even you shitheads who've hung around, the 3% of you that are haters that subscribe, I appreciate you too. And so again, I want to thank all of you for listening today. I want to thank all of you for subscribing. But please know, if you come with bullshit and you bring stupid comments and you've got your passive aggressive attitude and your holier than thou approach and your high and mighty, you know, perspective on things and how the sharp place should be and what you would do, keep it. You're just going to waste time. And all I'm going to do is tell you to fuck off and try to get you a refund and kick you out. So save your time, save my time, because there are 97, 98, 99% of the other people out there that if I'm wasting my time debating you back and forth because you think I type too much, I'm wasting their time. Because that 99% of people, I'm not spending it now analyzing the markets. I'm spending it debating an idiot. And I'm not going to waste that time. So yes, I'm going to come off as blunt, direct, and a dickhead to try to end the conversation, move on, close it up, and get on to the next person who might have an actually good topic to discuss or something that I can honestly help them on, bankroll management, whatever it may be. So yes, I am a dickhead, but if you come with a good perspective on things and you come with a good question and you come with a good attitude, I'm here to do everything I can to help you. And so is the rest of the family here at The Sharp Plays. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. This is a very long Go Fast and Win episode, but I hope you enjoyed the content. Good luck, cash some tickets, and I will see you next week, hopefully with an awesome streak-breaking experiment that I can share with you because it was a big success and we had a big weekend. So let's have that big weekend. Cash those tickets. Good luck.